Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
All right. It is number one on Netflix, and we opted out of going to the soccer game last night. Finished Wheel of Fortune, and I said to T, I go find something on Netflix while I go do the dishes, and we'll watch something on Netflix. It was hot last night. I want to stay in. And I said, I can't believe these words are coming out of my mouth. But Dana wouldn't shut up today about some show called The Poop Cruise. And I'm going to be honest, we watched it last night.
There's a documentary on Netflix called Floating Nightmare, The Poop Cruise. I'm going to need you to drop what you are doing and watch it right now. There's a moment where the cruise director comes over the loudspeaker and says, and I quote, "You have probably noticed the toilets have stopped working. For number one..." "Then you can go off the side of the ship. For number two..."
Were you drunk?
"We are going to be coming around with red bags."
Okay, stop. Scott just asked me, am I drunk? I sent that audio message to Michael Mackey at 6:30 in the morning.
Hello, Michael.
"The Poop Cruise soon will be making another run." Or should I say runs? "The Poop Cruise."
All right. I told you, you have to watch it. And I told you to drop what you are doing. Just for our listeners who are not aware, I just want your, I have not talked to you about it, your completely honest, raw assessment of that documentary.
I laughed at that documentary probably far, far, far more than I should have, mainly because of Scott, what's the word? Schadenfreude. What's the word?
Schadenfreude.
Yes, where you take pleasure at someone else's misfortune. I was appalled, but joyously so. And my favorite were the pictures of the fecal sludge just raining down from the ceiling. It was creeping through the hallways.
Michael, one of our sports guys said he went back and forth between, like, you feel so bad for the 4,000 passengers and crew that were stranded in an almost unbearable situation in the heat. Food is running out. But he said then I would just crack up because some of the interviews were so funny. And it that's why I think the documentary is so good. It goes from serious to I was just not snort laughing, then kind of back to serious because they were stranded for days without plumbing, without air conditioning, without really all of the comforts that we're spoiled with and used to.
It had a very Lord of the Flies type feeling, but
yes,
in a festive, upbeat sort of way. Yeah, so.
You know,
Lord of the Flies, but on a cruise ship.
My favorite part, Michael, was when, and they interviewed the red-haired English activities director. Whatever she's called, at great length. And when she's talking about opening the bar and free drinks for everyone, and then they just pan back to her face and she looks into the camera and goes, "That was a bad idea." What did you think was going to happen when you opened up the bar and gave out free drinks?
Mm-hmm.
Well, was that, I think that was at the point where they thought that they were going to get rescued that day, and then they were stranded for three more days. Like, the cruise was a four-day cruise, which turned into an eight-day cruise, four more of which didn't have electricity, or, well, let's just say poop was raining down from the ceiling. So there's that.
Michael, I honestly asked myself, when we were sitting there watching it, like, all kidding aside, who in your life do you know that would rise to the top and
really rise to the top
and like sludge through it? It is what it is. And then who do you know that would just have an absolute breakdown by about day 2 to 3?
You know, it's funny. My boss is going on a cruise and she leaves next week. And I told her about that. And she goes, I'm absolutely positively not watching that because I've been on like 50 cruises and it would be just my luck that another poop cruise would happen. And I go, yeah, don't, probably best not to watch so that. She would die.
Wait, are you asking, Dana, so I'm clear, of the four of us, you, me, Sam, and Michael, who would break down first and who would break down last?
And also, you guys, no lights. So all of this was going on in the dark. Okay. At night, there's no lights.
I have my ballot.
The documentary forces you to look into yourself and think, how would I handle a situation like that? Okay. And I'm telling you right now, I would not, you know.
So I'm going to go in order from number one.
Oh, my God.
You do that off the balcony.
Who gets to be number two?
Number one is going to be most likely to make it without throwing themselves overboard. Number four is going to be most likely to throw themselves overboard within 30 seconds.
Okay.
Sam Stevie is number one.
I agree. Michael?
I am number two.
Michael, do you agree so far?
I've been on lots. You guys, I'm a really seasoned veteran traveler. I don't think it would, honestly, I know that I give the impression that I would be just grossed out, but I think I would survive. I really do.
I'm not questioning whether you would survive. What I'm
saying is,
I wouldn't
fling myself off. I think I would roll with the punches.
You're my number three, and Dana's my easy number four.
Dana would be putting on the life jacket and just jumping. I'm out.
There's a moment in the documentary where a normal cruise ship floats by, and everyone is partying
and
screaming.
They're laughing at them.
And like they're like, woo, woo. And I said to Johnny, at that moment, when you think they're going to help us and you realize they're not going to help, I would actually think, like, what if I grabbed a life preserver and just flung myself toward the other passing cruise ship? Then they would have to rescue me.
They wouldn't have to do anything.
The thing about that cruise, the other cruise ship going by, is that it allowed all the passengers to have internet access
to
start getting the word out. You know, like they didn't have any cell phone signal. They didn't have any internet access. And then when the other cruise ship went by, they sort of latched onto the cruise ship signal and they started just blitzkrieging like CNN and CBS and saying, oh my gosh, help us. We're stranded. Because the world wasn't really aware of it up until that point.
Well, but Carnival Cruise Lines was. They were able to, because they did have that portable cell phone, but the word was not getting around. And the news media, in particular CNN, was just kind of bored with it. You know, we don't have enough, you know, immediate details coming in. We don't have any pictures. You know how it works with TV. No pictures, no story. And Brooke, what's her last name? Is it Baldwin? Yeah.
Baldwin, yeah.
She needs Botox, by the way.
Scott Parks!
Well, I said that last night when she was first being interviewed.
She's absolutely beautiful. Do you see what I deal with every day, Michael?
Every day.
Every day. Anyway.
I can't wait to fill in on Friday.
I know. Bless. Can't wait. Bless. I'm glad you watched it because you guys all rarely take my directives seriously. And boy, did you guys run home and watch it. And I'm thrilled that you did.
It was good.
You were wheeze laughing. You were laughing so hard when you left me that voicemail at 6, I don't know, God only knows what, oh, dark 30. Then I was like, okay, this is a mandate. This is the run. Don't poop.
All right. Hey, I'll see you tomorrow, buddy.
Everybody,
love you, love
you, bring your book. Bring your book.
I will. Absolutely.
Please.
It's the draft is ready to go. You can proof it all you want, except for your chapter.
Oh, come on. I'll see you tomorrow.
Okay.
Goodbye.
The poop cruise.
913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Ironic, you're coming back with a song entitled Heaven and Hell. If only it was entitled Heaven to Hell, because what started off as a heavenly cruise in the Caribbean turned into hell. If you've seen or are aware of the movie documentary Poop Cruise on Netflix, which is trending at number one right now. I think, Sam, you saw it last night, right?
I have not seen it.
Oh, you have not seen it. Dan and I have seen it. Michael Mackey saw it. It is remarkable. And apparently, in our listening audience, there are at least two.
I cannot believe this.
Poop cruisers.
No.
Carrie in Kansas City.
Carrie? We wondered yesterday if anyone from Kansas City was on that boat.
Oh, yes. I had a whole family on that boat.
Have you watched it, the documentary?
Yes. Yes, I watched it last night.
Is it all accurate?
Some of it's a little bit exaggerated. The whole liquor thing, they told us right off we only got 2 hours. So it wasn't like they left it open forever and then decided it was too bad and then closed it. They came on and said, you've got 2 hours to get the liquor.
So when did you first know something was very, very wrong? Was it in the middle of the night when the power went out?
No, it was at 5:30 in the morning when they came over the speaker. You know, typically they'll put things out in the hallway, but this came over the whole ship's speaker system saying, Alpha Team, Alpha Team, Alpha Team. And
oh, that's right.
We knew right then that something was up.
And when you heard Alpha Team, Alpha Team, Alpha Team, what did you think?
Well, I didn't think it was going to be good because it was the captain doing it. And, so we started going out onto our verandas to see, and we could see the smoke.
Got it.
So we knew there was a problem.
And at that point, Carrie, because I've been on a few cruises in my lifetime, I would probably be thinking, oh my gosh, you all do that drill right when you get on the boat that if something goes wrong, and most people, just like on an airplane, you don't pay attention to the instructions. Were you worried when you saw the smoke?
Well, I think we all had a little bit of a moment of panic. And there were a lot, we didn't, but there were a lot that went to the muster stations, and they kept telling them that they didn't need to go to the muster stations. There wasn't an issue that was going to cause them to have to get off the boat. But, you know, our instinct is to panic when you hear something like that. So there were a lot that went down to their muster stations.
Refresh my memory, if you would, Carrie. It was originally supposed to be a 4-day cruise from, I believe, somewhere in Texas, or Louisiana, I can't recall.
It was Galveston.
Galveston, okay. Down to Cozumel in Mexico and then right back to Texas, if I'm not mistaken.
Right, that is correct.
It was a four-day...
So it was a four-day cruise that became a 9-day float.
That was my next question. How many days did you end up on the ship? It was nine.
It was nine, yeah.
Have you ever been so glad to see the land ever in your entire life?
I think we all were very glad. I had a 2-year-old granddaughter on that ship, so I was really panicking.
Did you sleep outside on the deck like a lot of them did?
No, but we had a veranda, so we opened our doors, and that helped the people that were in the rooms that were inside be able to see to get their stuff out because they had no way to see to get the things that they needed out of their rooms. So we would try to keep our door open for them.
Will you ever cruise again?
Oh, gosh, I've been on probably 10 since then.
Okay, in the recap at the very end, it said that a couple of the people said they still cruise together every single year. I understand that, and I don't. I don't know that I would be able to get back on a boat.
Well, we love it. We love cruising, and, you know, gosh, we hope that that's the only incident we ever have, but we enjoy it so much that we just keep going.
Did you get your money back?
Yes. Yes, we got our money back. We got another cruise, and we all got a $500 check.
$500.
But they got their money back and another cruise.
Right. We got our money back, another cruise, and $500.
Okay. But I always say, yeah, but the initial statement, I don't want to say it was a lie, but it omitted everything that was going on that boat. Their initial statement was basically, oh, we had a little hiccup, but things are fine out here. And that would have made me so mad, Carrie, because you all didn't have Wi-Fi. You couldn't.
No, we did. Well, think about it. We had no power, so we had no phones. That after your phone ran down, there was no power. So there became this community that they found one outlet behind like an ATM machine down on the level with the office by the casino, and they hooked into that, and then they started bringing extension cords. I have a picture, and there's probably 60 things plugged into this one outlet through extension cords to try and get their iPads and their phones and all charged up. So then they were able to go out, and we were right there with them trying to get the signal because we lived in Texas at the time, and I was supposed to be introducing the lieutenant governor at a luncheon, and I couldn't get there. So,
well, Carrie, we're glad you're safe. We're glad you're back. Fascinating story, and thank you for it. Stephanie in Sedalia, also on the poop cruise.
We were well represented.
Okay, so not really ironic because you were just talking to my mom.
Okay, got it. Okay, so forget everything that Carrie just told us. I want this from your perspective.
Well, and it is definitely a different perspective because I did have my toddler with me.
Oh my gosh.
And entertaining a 2-year-old with every electronic and toy that you could at home is hard enough, but in a very small confined space with no power, it becomes even more challenging.
How hot did it get at night?
So as we were closer to Mexico, it was still probably 80s. For the people that were on inside staterooms, there just was no way they could stay inside. So having a balcony was paramount. I have been on cruises since, and I will never, ever cruise without being in a balcony room again because of that.
Okay. Because it would just be an oven if you were on the interior.
Yes. And then as you got closer to Mobile, we are in the middle of February. It was not warm at all. So then that's why you saw the pictures of everybody with the bathrobes on.
Oh.
Because it was freezing.
Huh.
Stephanie, without being like gross, but I think people are curious. Like, were people throwing up? Like, I just have to ask. Was the stench so unbearable? Like, how do you verbalize your senses with this?
In the areas where there was no way to get fresh air, the smell was terrible. And so those individuals, I don't know, once they got all of their stuff out, that they even went back, because it was truly, you couldn't. There was no fresh air. Getting the fresh air made it bearable. And really, you're in a situation with, what can you do? You have no other choice but to bear it. I never really saw anybody getting sick. But that is kudos to the crew, because they did everything they possibly could to make it bearable for everyone. They worked so hard.
I need a yes or a no on this question.
I can already tell you it's no. I did not.
Did you poop in a bag?
I did not.
You're a four-dayer. I'm so proud of you, Stephanie.
Well, there would be kind of like underground communication that someone would find a working toilet and you would run. The masses would run.
Would they run? So,
you're dead.
Did you enjoy? It's got to be so different for you watching the documentary. Did you even want to watch it?
Well, I started getting messages from several of my friends because I hadn't even had a clue that this was coming out. And so I did. I watched it immediately, and I was laughing the whole time. My husband wanted nothing to do with it. We had not met yet at the time this happened, and he did not he did not want to have any part of watching it at all.
Stephanie, thank you for releasing my guilt, because I felt guilty that I laughed as hard as I did. And we were not laughing at you. I wanted to believe so many years we're laughing with you, because the comments and the commentary, poo lasagna is now a firm part of my lexicon from this day forward. And for those of you who haven't seen it,
firm part.
It is one of the funniest lines in that entire documentary.
I agree. I laughed way too hard.
Well, Stephanie, thank you for the call and for the information.
Love you, girl. You call back anytime.
913-586-7798.
I need a yes or no. She goes, no.
It's a no. I already know what you're going to ask.
It's a no. And going near that red bag.
586-7798.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
So closing arguments are underway in New York in the Sean Diddy Combs trial. They may wrap today. They are scheduled to go today and tomorrow. So we'll find out. But they have begun and are still in closing arguments. The defense did not bring a single witness. Not one.
They were up for less than 30 minutes.
That is correct.
Update from Channel 5 on a story we have covered extensively over the last year and some change. Prosecutors are seeking upgraded charges against the men accused in the deaths of those three Chiefs fans. You all remember the story. This is from Channel 5 this afternoon. The Platte County Prosecutor's Office is hoping to upgrade charges against two men accused in the deaths of three Kansas City Chiefs fans. Records filed in court yesterday show the prosecutor's office has filed a motion to amend the charges against Jordan Willis and Ivory Carson to second-degree murder. Jordan Willis, you recall, was the renter who lived in the home where those three men were found frozen to death on the back porch in the backyard area. Remember, no one could get a hold of Jordan. The family members of the three men for a couple of days were banging on the door out front trying to figure out where the men were. They were all dead outside. Clayton McGeaney, David Harrington, and Ricky Johnson died on that property. A probable cause document indicated that the three died from combined toxicity of fentanyl and other drugs. I had forgotten the original charge was manslaughter, Scott. They're now going for second-degree murder.
This is in Platte County, is it not? Or is it Clay?
Platte.
Yeah.
Platte.
You don't crime in Platte County. We've said it 1,000 times. Eric Zahn, he gonna get you. All right. Well, good. I got no problem with that. If you deal that poison and somebody dies from it, let me rephrase. If you allegedly deal that poison and somebody dies from it, then I say throw the book at them. You know what you're basically handing somebody a loaded handgun in the form of drugs and say, here, go play with this. Two Kansas City suburbs are home to some of the safest drivers in the country, according to a new report, while other parts of the area have become substantially more risky to drive in over the last 10 years. The report revealed that drivers in Olathe,
really?
Are some of the least likely to experience a car accident. These must be people who don't drive near I-35 in Santa Fe, which is the worst interchange in the entire city. Olathe ranked as the number 6 safest city to drive in the country.
No way.
Yep. The study found that drivers in Olathe average 12.7 years between car collisions.
Ooh, that's an interesting statistic.
Huh.
How many years do you go between collisions? Is it possible in Olathe they just drive less?
No. When was the last time you drove in Olathe? It is packed.
All right.
And crazy. Yeah, I find it pretty wild that Olathe is way up there on that list.
Most people would say they find it wild that any of the suburbs here are on that list.
Overland Park is the other local suburb to finish in the top 20. Overland Park comes in at number 15, with drivers experiencing a car collision every 12 years.
Okay.
When was the last time you were in a collision?
I don't like talking about that because I feel like we're jinxing it, and the universe is going to go, you know what? Let me ask you this. I have a new insurance carrier because we had to switch everything over when we got the house. And one of the things that they keep emailing me is, hey, you haven't signed up for the Drive Safe, Drive Right discount, whatever it's called. And I just very nicely replied. I said, I don't even know what day it is. We're in the middle of a move. I cannot get to this right now.
Who called you? Nancy Miller?
It was Nancy Miller. No, this is actually legit.
She said I'd like to talk to you about your extended car warranty.
I think, Sam.
It'll be $2,800.
I think, Sam.
I forgot about that.
Shut up. That this is one of those programs where they monitor your driving. Uh-huh. And then you get the discount but then it's like, okay, how are they monitoring it?
Yeah, let them into your phone.
Do they want to put something in my car?
Typically, yeah, they plug something into your car.
Nah, I don't like that. I'll pay more.
Why would you not?
Because sometimes they'll say, why did you hard brake randomly at 75th and Metcalf? I don't know. Maybe the guy in front of me slammed on his brakes.
I saw a child.
You should be thankful I hard braked.
Why did you speed everywhere?
That's what it is right there, Sam.
I try to, within reason.
I don't speed ever.
That's also a lie.
That is such a lie.
No, that's not.
When you say you don't speed, you mean you go 9 miles over.
No, I mean I go, the most I will go is 5.
That's speeding by 5.
Well, I don't speed.
Such a lie. I'm a 9 girl. I'm just going to tell you right now.
I fully admit that I speed.
Unless it is a 25 mile an hour zone or a 30 mile an hour zone, because then 9 is a lot. But if it's 55, I'm driving 64-ish.
Watching you do math in your head, and I said this yesterday on the show, is hard to watch because I don't like seeing you suffer.
I'm a 9 girl. I mean.
Oh, from the text line, they said it's based on an app. Well, then how do they know that you're hard braking?
Because the phone, just on Life 360, for example, right?
Does the phone hard brake?
No.
Well, it's in your.
For the love of all that is holy in heaven.
He's strapping it to the ceiling.
Oh my God.
They can detect that you were going X speed, and within 50 feet, you went from 64 and a half
to zero.
To zero.
So on Life 360, I can tell how fast anybody on my Life 360 is driving. The phone knows that you're going. I showed you that picture of Maya. I woke up the other day.
She going about 400 miles an hour?
She was going 126 miles an hour.
Yeah, she was on a runway.
No, she was in the air.
Oh.
And.
Well, then you don't want to see a slow speed.
No. You know, those little planes, the little single propeller, they don't go as fast as you think they do. She was in the air going only 125 miles an hour.
I'm looking this up.
It is concerning when you're a father and you log on to Life 360 to see where your people are. And you see your youngest daughter is traveling at 125 miles an hour, and then it dawned on me she's also in the middle of nowhere.
Here we go. It's called UBI. Car insurance companies offer usage-based insurance, UBI, which involve monitoring your driving habits using telematics devices. It can more accurately assess risk. It encourages safer driving because you know it.
I would do it because it would make me drive more safely.
Oh, why don't you just drive more safely in general?
To fight insurance fraud, the data collected by UBI programs can help insurers identify and combat fraudulent claims by providing, it's like a black box, a clearer picture of events leading up to an accident.
Ooh, some of these driving apps by insurance companies dock you for late night driving. So you want to go somewhere after 10 p.m.? You better drive somebody else's car.
No, I don't. It's none of your business what time I'm driving.
Or don't take your phone.
Oh, see, I feel like they're going to get you, and it's something that they're putting on your car.
I know that they do have devices that plug into, there's a plug under your dash.
I would gladly do it.
No way. You're the guy that always says, well, just because I don't have anything to hide, I don't want you going through my emails. You're literally handing over the keys to the castle there.
Well, yeah, but do you want a cheaper rate?
Well, I did that 2 days ago. Why not do it now? What'd you say, Sam?
Do you want a cheaper rate?
Yeah, that's my point. I mean, you're paying me to let you look at my email, to use the analogy. You want to come over here and look at my email, just give me some money.
By the way, it's so dumb, and I know that young men are stupid, and I get it, but it's so dumb that as a young male, when you're under the age of 24, you have to pay a ridiculous sum of money for car insurance.
Yes, because statistically, it's all of the 20-somethings that are getting in car wrecks and sadly are organ donors on motorcycles. That's why it's so expensive. I had boys and girls. The girls' rates were so much lower, and they also tie it to good grades, which you can have great grades, by the way, and be the world's worst driver.
Yeah, but they've clearly done research that finds that the better your grades, the more likely you are to be a good driver. That's why they do that.
I think there could be a correlation there. I don't think it's foolproof.
Well, they got hundreds of my dollars, and I'd never gotten a wreck, nor made a claim.
I'm sensing a tone of bitterness in your voice.
Yeah, it's sexist. Just because I happen to be a guy.
Wow.
You know what else is sexist? You can't work at Hooters.
But try me.
You can be a line cook. 913-586-7798, 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. So the NBA draft started last night. We watched a bit of it. Cooper Flagg, of course, was the number one pick by the Dallas Mavericks. Story here from the New York Post. Listen to this. If all goes according to plan, Mavericks forward, Cooper Flagg will be super crazy rich by the time he gets into his 30s. Flagg is going to sign. He's already rich.
I was
going to
say, isn't he already?
Wait till you hear what super crazy rich means. Okay. Flagg is going to sign a lucrative 4-year. These are already agreed on, I think, by the players' union and the league. A 4-year, $62 million rookie contract that's going to run through the 2028-2029 season. Then, after his rookie deal ends, he could sign a Supermax extension, if he turns out to be good and not a bust, worth $359 million from the 2029-30 season through 2034. And then, in 2034, if he ends up playing through 2039, he would sign another contract worth $509 million, meaning if he ends up playing 15 years in the NBA, and he's as good as everybody thinks he's going to be, he will make $930
million. You've got to be kidding me.
It has gotten out of control.
Hand. It's out of hand.
By the way, that does not the nearly $1 billion before he's even 40 years old to play a game does not include endorsements, of which he's already signed some with New Balance.
That will make him the highest paid contract-only professional sports player
in sports history
of all time.
This is getting out of hand. It really is.
What does it say to you that the number is that high? That is a fraction of what those teams are making, what the franchises are making.
Yeah. It means that athletes are overpaid, and I'm going to say it right now.
No, they're not, because they bring in eyeballs. How many millions of new basketball fans do we have because of Caitlin Clark?
Oh.
They bring the eyeballs. You know, people were Chiefs fans before Patrick Mahomes. I've never seen anything like this town post Mahomes.
I know.
Which sounds like post Malone. Oh, that's cool.
By the way, Caitlin Clark out again.
Oh, man. What happened now?
A groin injury.
Isn't that what the problem was last time?
Her return date is unknown.
Wow.
Which typically means a while.
Nestle said today that it will eliminate artificial colors from its U.S. food and beverages by the middle of 2026. This is the latest big food company making that pledge. Last week, Kraft Heinz and General Mills said they would remove artificial dyes from their U.S. products by 2027.
It bothers me that this is so dangerous that all of the other countries in the world have already banned this stuff. And we're like, we're going to get around to it. It's so bad for you. Why don't we do 2027? Why can't we just ban it now? Just say you're going to stop. If it's killing all of us, stop it.
About 2/3 of Americans favor restricting or reformulating processed foods to remove ingredients like added sugar or dyes. According to an AP poll, both California and West Virginia have recently banned artificial dyes in foods that are served in school.
It's not killing us. It's just making us obese and poisoning our brains. Well, I mean, that's perfectly fine.
But obesity is a cause of death. I mean, it leads to heart disease and diabetes.
I was being sarcastic.
Oh. I did not detect the sarcasm in your voice. That's okay. On Sunday, Governor Greg Abbott of Texas signed a bill requiring foods made with artificial dyes or additives to contain a new safety label that starts in 2027. The label would say that they contain ingredients not recommended for human consumption in Australia, Canada, the European Union, and the UK.
Good.
All right.
Now, I think that there is going to be a lot of people who are upset that we are trying to make them healthier by removing poison from their food. The same way that people get mad when you put pictures of amputated feet on cigarette cartons.
Now, what's going to happen, though, when your mustard is orange and your ketchup is a light pink?
Well, it'll be a transition period.
Are people still going to eat it? Your hot dog is not a delicious-looking, mildly burnt brown, but it is gray.
Hopefully, that will push people to transition to the more...
If the hot dog is gray,
you're not going to eat it.
I'm out. Mm-hmm. That the thought of a gray hot dog makes me gag. But I think the thought that we're poisoning our bodies with stuff that other countries decades ago said is toxic,
never even allowed,
is worse.
What about when the hamburger that you're served or the steak that you're served is gray?
Steak is not going to be gray.
What color is it going to be?
The color of a grilled steak.
Okay. For a rare steak?
Ooh, is the inside going to be a grayish?
I don't know. About to find out.
Hope not. All right.
Mine will be very dark brown because I like my steak well done.
Gross!
The color of leather.
I want to taste leather, and I want it to look like leather. News with Dan Weinbaum coming your way in 2 minutes. Here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.